This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Contributing editor at Fandango.com, Eric Davis, joins me to speak about the latest movie news and what movies we should look out for this month. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so the Bumblebee trailer was recently released. What did you think about it?
You know, I really like it. It kind of has a vibe of the Iron Giant. Like, and I don't know if you remember that movie from director Brad Bird, where it's sort of about a boy and his giant robot. And I'm feeling that kind of vibe. And this time it's about a girl and her giant robot. And I think it's, you know, I think there's so much potential with these Transformers movies. But I think up until this point, they've just been really stuffed with characters, really loud. Stories haven't been very coherent. So I think that kind of bringing it back to a smaller scale and setting it in the 80s and sort of weaving that nostalgia through it, I think, is a really good idea. I've spoken to people who have seen Bumblebee, and they say it's very good, so that makes me feel good, too. And I think it's going to be one of those films that kind of surprises people at the end of the year, where they're like, I did not expect this to be... You remember, sort of like Jumanji last year. Remember Jumanji came around, and so people were shocked. They were like, wow, this is good. And then it's one of the highest-grossing movies ever for Sony, and now they're doing a sequel. So I don't know if it'll be quite on that scale, but I think in terms of late surprises at the end of the year, I could see this film being that surprise.
All right, in terms of continuity, I'm curious, when it comes to Bumblebee, do you know if it's going to be the movie before Shia LaBeouf, like the very first Transformers, or is this going to be kind of just standalone?
Well, I think both. I think it's going to be a standalone thing, but it is going to be take place before those movies. This is going to take place in the 80s. Bumblebee is still like a VW Bug, I think, at this point. It's definitely going to take place before all of those other movies, which is great because you don't have to really call out to those movies in any way. But you're going to get more Transformers. Then just Bumblebee, Optimus Prime is in there, and there's a few others. And so I think it's going to, sort of act as its standalone, but it's still going to be within that same universe, just taking place before any of the others.
You know, I'm excited to see if this movie does very well, because I want to know if they're going to do a Megatron movie, because that would be very interesting, right? Like, if the standalone Bumblebee does well, then Megatron, we could see from his point of view why he has, like, trying to take over the world aspect. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. But it's always, you got to be really careful when you do stuff like that, just because Megatron is the ultimate arch nemesis of the Transformers. And so how do you make a film? And it's interesting because they're doing it now with this Joker movie. When you take such an iconic villain and you form a movie around them, then who are you supposed to kind of root for? Who are you investing? Are you rooting for Megatron to destroy the world? You know, and so it's all about the characters that you surround that villain. I'm curious to see how they do it with this Joker movie. We've been seeing a lot of pictures of late because Joker's a bad guy. But I think we're going to meet him before he becomes bad, and that'll allow us to sort of invest in him in a certain way, you know?
Now, jumping to the DCU, I always thought that Ben Affleck would be out of all of the DCU movies before Henry Cavill. What happened there?
You know, it seems like it was a negotiations thing, and it seems like they maybe wanted him to shoot at a certain time, and he couldn't do it, or it just seems like it fell apart. I'm not privy to all of the sort of inside conversations that happened with it, but maybe he just felt like they wanted too much from him, and he didn't want to continue doing it. Maybe he had other aspirations. I'm hearing his name bandied about a lot for James Bond. Maybe he's chasing other movies, other big projects that Superman would have gotten in the way of. So, I think he's really good in the last Mission Impossible movie. And that may have opened up some other doors for him that he'd like to explore, you know, aside from Superman. And, you know, which you can understand, you know, here's the guy that's trying to be an actor in all these other films, and all people ask him about is Superman, and maybe he wants to get away from that. You know, maybe he wants people to know him as something other than the guy that plays Superman. And so it's totally respectable, and it is a bit of a shame. I think he's a really great Superman who's been in okay Superman movies, one decent one, one not so decent one, and I think it's a shame that we don't get to see him. But I think there's a lot of other people that will happily take the reins of Superman. I think what's more important is that they come up with a really great Superman story that feels fresh that we haven't seen yet. That's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, you're right about that, because I think, especially since the 80s Superman movies, it's kind of all been done. So yeah, to make it fresh, that would really bring some life to the series. But what's going to happen to the series now that he's gone? So it's just going to go to somebody new and that's it?
I don't know if it's going to go to somebody new. I think that they don't know what they're going to do yet. You know, DC is kind of doubling down on a bunch of other movies. They have Aquaman, they have Shazam, they have Wonder Woman 2, they have this Birds of Prey movie, this Harley Quinn movie in the work. I know that they're sort of putting the final pieces on a script for the next Batman movie. So I think that, and then they want to do a Supergirl movie too. So they want to do all these films before they even get back to Superman. So I think that if we do see a new Superman, perhaps we see him show up in this Supergirl movie. I think that the studio is really hot on launching the Supergirl franchise and giving that a go before we get back to Superman. So we'll definitely see Superman at some point, but I don't think it's a priority right now.
Now, one of the fun rumors I heard about it when it regards to Superman is that Nicolas Cage, a lot of people are like, I want to see Nicolas Cage as Superman, since he was supposed to be Superman a few years ago. Do you think there's any validity to this rumor, or it's just fun?
You know, it depends. You know, in a world where they can make a Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips that looks like it's going to be very different and sort of more artistic, I would say, than any of the other movies. In a world where you can make those kind of standalone movies that aren't connected to a wider universe, then yeah, anything can happen. You know, if that's successful, then maybe a really well-known director says, you know what, I want to do a standalone Superman movie that's kind of gritty and a little bit gnarly, and I want to get Nicolas Cage to play him, and it's not going to be connected to anything else, but it'll just be its own thing. So I think a lot will rely on that Joker movie. If that does really well and it's really good, then that will tell the studio that they can do these offshoot standalones and take some risks with them. So I don't think Nicolas Cage is going to play him, but I wouldn't rule it out.
I don't think so either. He had an opportunity to play Superman and he just wasn't cast for the part, but I still think it would be interesting to see what he could do with the Superman series.
I think anything Nicolas Cage does is pretty interesting. So, but yes, I think to get an older Superman who's a little bit cynical and doesn't care as much about being Superman, I think that would be a really great place for Nicolas Cage, but we'll see.
Now, here's something I think's kind of interesting. I heard that Disney is slowing down on releasing Star Wars movies, and they're even considering cutting their Marvel films to just 4 a year. Why would they do that? I mean, all of this very successful. Why slow down?
Well, they don't want to oversaturate. You know, I think they learned a lesson with Star Wars The Last Jedi and Solo being released only, you know, 3-4 months apart from each other. There was a bit of oversaturation. You know, and Solo is a good movie. Now it's on Fandango now. It's on streaming. You can go watch it. I've watched it another 2 times, and I really like it. It's an enjoyable movie. But I think people were just a little bit Star Wars was oversaturated, and certain franchises like Marvel can put out 3 movies a year or 4 movies a year and still not feel a hit at the box office because they're all sort of different. Star Wars, I think they learned their lesson that maybe Star Wars can't do that. maybe too much Star Wars is not going to be a good thing. So especially when they're counting on the certain the kind of numbers that they want a Star Wars to make, you know, $1 billion at the box office, or what have you. So I think that it would be smart, you know, to Star Wars, I think, is best when it hasn't been there for a little bit and you're kind of building up the anticipation and you have all this time to wonder what it is and who's it going to be and how's it going to tie into whatever. So I think it's always best if it does allow some room to breathe. So we're going to get another Star Wars movie in a year from December, and we'll see. And I think that'll be a nice bit of breathing room between Star Wars movies.
Okay, so just to fill you in a little bit, Disney's going to have their own streaming service. It's going to come out in 2019, and they're going to create standalone series for Loki and Scarlet Witch. Now, the actors from the movies are going to portray them in these series specifically for their streaming service. So, if it does well, do you think that secondary characters are going to get more love on the streaming service because they don't want to oversaturate the theater?
Well, yeah, I do. And I'm not sure if it's all completely finalized yet with those shows, but that's their big... You know, Disney's creating this streaming service, and they want to sort of separate themselves from the other streaming services. And so what do they have? They have their IP, they have their characters, and they're going to spend some money. You know, they're going to create bigger budgeted shows around characters like Loki and Scarlet Witch. And I said the other day, I was like, that would be a perfect place to do like a Lando show with Donald Glover or something. So I definitely, if those are very successful, for sure. I could totally see them doing, you know, 6 to 8 episode runs of a show with a character and just showing them on an adventure. And it'll be interesting to see how that separates itself from what Netflix is doing with the Marvel characters, from what they've done on primetime television with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'd be really curious to see how those shows are different, the shows that they're going to do on the streaming service, than what they've put out there on other platforms. And so if it's very successful, though, yeah, expect to see more of them.
I love that you talked about the Lando TV series. That would be love right there, because Star Wars does so well when it comes to their cartoons and their short animations. So it would be really nice to have some of that love on the TV show and throw back into the movie. I think that would be a really cool tie-in.
Yeah, well, I know that Jon Favreau is working on something Star Wars related for the streaming service, like a live action. So they're already working on an original Star Wars show, but I do think it would be fun. You know, I don't know how well these spinoffs are going to work for them, you know, and they've kind of shelved them for the time being. They were going to do an Obi-Wan movie, maybe a Boba Fett movie. A lot of people love Donald Glover's Lando, so they want to see a Lando movie. Well, maybe the place for those are on the streaming service instead, and so we'll see what they do. You know, Star Wars is so it's such a unique brand because there's so much potential there, but at the same time there's so much expectation there, and because of what those original movies mean to people and what they mean to sort of the history of movies, and so. I don't envy the people who are in charge of making those decisions on what to do with Star Wars, because you definitely want to see more from that universe, but you also want it to be important and you want it to be memorable and you want to sort of love it in the way that you've loved Star Wars throughout the year.
Now, when it comes to these TV series and movies, do you think that maybe the story is getting too big and they need to, like, bring it back down to something more concrete, because it's getting kind of not convoluted? I think the stories are really good when it comes to Marvel Studios and even when Star Wars, but to start pushing it into their streaming services, I'm starting to think like maybe the story's getting too big for just a small director, because they're going to have to all talk to each other, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, you know, like so far what we've seen from Star Wars, they're on that Skywalker timeline. So everything that they create, they can say this is between Return of the Jedi, like the new show that they're doing on Disney XD, takes place between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. Star Wars Rebels, the other animated show that just ended, took place right before A New Hope. And so, you know, Rogue One took place right before A New Hope. And so there, and Star Wars Rebels took place right before Rogue One. And so they're kind of building, everything that they're building right now is on this same timeline. And so they're able to say, oh, well, this takes place after that movie, or this takes place before that movie, and we're still in that space. It's once you get outside that timeline that it'll get interesting, and we'll see what audiences think. Once you get away from sort of people being able to drop Darth Vader's name or a Skywalker or a Lando cameo or, you know, or talk about characters that are in the new movies, Force Awakens and Last Jedi, once you get away from that, that will really see sort of the legs that this brand has, Star Wars, and what people are interested in. I would love to see sort of a show that goes way back in time to, like, the Old Republic, and, like, I would like to really see, like, a cool Knights of the Republic kind of movie. But I don't know. We'll see. As long as they have sort of lightsabers in them and cool characters, I think people will show up. I always trust Disney, you know?
Okay, so I was reading that they're going to make a Pet Sematary movie, and it's coming out in 2019. Yes. Did you hear this too or no?
Yes, they are making it. I actually just spoke with people who are familiar with that movie, and the trailer is actually going to be out, I think, soon, very soon. And they said it's a great, great trailer. And so this is going to be a movie that's going to be released in that same spot where A Quiet Place came out, and it was really a big surprise in April. That's when this is going to come out. And, you know, there's this renewed interest in classic Stephen King properties. Came out in droves for that new It movie, and then they're doing another It movie now. And so I think that there's sort of this new renaissance of taking these classics, you know, Stephen King properties and kind of modernizing them and breathing new life into them. And Pet Sematary is going to be that next one. And so I've heard very, very good things about the trailer. And that's a film that I could see, you know, maybe they'll do what they did with A Quiet Place. Maybe they'll premiere it at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, get a lot of really great buzz, and that'll lead into its release in theaters. And so I'm all for it. You know, I love those classic Stephen King movies, and Pet Sematary, as somebody who has pets, I have a dog, always had a dog. It is kind of a freaky movie if you are a pet owner. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, before I let you go, I have to know, for this month of October, what can we expect to come out? Like, we have to see.
Well, I'll give you a couple of movies that I definitely think you have to see. It's October, so I have to give you a scary movie, the new Halloween movie, which I've seen, and I really, really like it. It forgets about all of the other sequels. It is a direct sequel to the original movie. It just takes place 40 years later. Michael Myers is back terrorizing Haddonfield, and Jamie Lee Curtis, instead of him chasing her, this time she's chasing him. And she wants to get rid of him and get him out of her life. And so it's a movie that knows what it is, and it's a movie that knows what the audience wants from it, and I had a really great time watching it. So I would highly recommend that one. And a movie that's not scary, but is probably going to be a major Oscar contender, A Star is Born, with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. Wonderful music in it. Really great performances. Definitely going to be a film that's in the front-running races for Best Picture and Actor and Actress. And the songs are going to be nominated. So if you want to kind of get an early start on, okay, what is everybody going to be buzzing about come Oscar time, go see A Star is Born. Really great movie that I enjoyed a lot.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Davis, Eric with a K. And then, of course, on Fandango. We'll be putting out tons of content. So when you go to buy tickets at Fandango, just stick around for a little while and read some of our stuff.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAYNE. PAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.